Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings and welcome to Voice of Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus.
And I'm Athena Victory.
And we are on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Tonight we're going to be speaking with some friends from the Urantia Book Society, both here in the East in New York and out West in Los Angeles. And the Urantia Society is something I've been aware of for very many years, and I've been interested in their teachings, and I've explored them at some length. And I was fortunate enough to meet Mr. Nick Curto, and Nick and I became friends, and the Urantia book was recently represented at our Mythic Atlantis Invite, and Nick manned the information table, which we call, of course, the Olympian Embassy. So I'm looking forward to our future interactions with the Urantia Book Society. We are going to start with the other side of the country with Michael Duncan. Michael, welcome to the Voice of Olympus.
Achilles, thank you very much for having me.
So tell me about, or tell actually our listeners about, the Urantia Book Society.
Yes. I'm the president of Urantia Book Los Angeles Society, and there are more than a dozen societies throughout the United States. I happen to be the president of Los Angeles Society, and we have we are under the umbrella of the Urantia Book Fellowship, which is a national organization dedicated to spreading the teachings of the Urantia Book.
The Urantia book is channeled, that's correct, isn't that?
Well, there are a lot of differing, differing viewpoints as to the origin of the Urantia book. A lot of people say it was channeled by a human. Others say that it was, the product of many celestial beings that were speaking through a particular person. But I did want to mention that a lot of the people in our Urantia Book movement are not aware that the Urantia Book came from a Seventh-day Adventist background. John Harvey Kellogg, whom you might know with the, Kellogg's Corn Flakes, he was a member of the early forum that taught a lot of the early members in the 1930s, 1940s, family members, taught them about the Urantia book. And he was raised by Ellen G. White, who was the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist religious movement.
Wow.
John Harvey Kellogg, he... he passed the papers on to his niece, Lena, who was married to Dr. Sadler. And Dr. Sadler is a very prominent Seventh-day Adventist minister who began spreading the teachings of the Urantia Book and publishing it in 1955.
It is a very, very thick and concentrated volume of information. There is no fluff at all in the Urantia Book. It really, really takes a lot of chewing and digesting to absorb the teachings, and the scope of the teachings is cosmic.
Yes, yes. It gives a basic structure of the universe and the universes. It tells us, it gives us a little bit of a roadmap of where we'll be going after our time here on the Earth, which is called, in the Urantia Book, our Earth is called Urantia by the celestials. Yeah, it is cosmic. It goes through local system, constellation, local universe, all the way up to this eternal place called Havona, and then even deeper where we meet God and some of the main deities. We meet them in paradise, and then from paradise we can have an even more full career in what we call the outer space levels in the master universe.
So it's an evolution that humanity is a part of that leads forever upward and beyond. It's a progressive evolution.
Yes, progressive evolution. And what's neat about the Urantia Book is that it talks about progression two ways. It talks about outward progression through different spheres and different bodies as we ascend spiritward. It also talks about an inward journey, a journey on the inward spiral toward, you know, meeting God and reuniting with God also.
So what would be the difference between the internal universe and the external universe?
Well, I would say the external universe is one where we take on material bodies and we function in a relatively material sphere. Whereas I think the inward journey is one that transcends the material, and where we grow and we function on higher spirit levels.
Very eloquently stated and well said.
Thanks.
Now, what brought you to the Urantia Book? We've spoken very little, but you seem like a very, very spiritual and thoughtful person. How did your journey bring you to the Urantia Book, and why did you stay there?
Oh, well, thanks for the question there. Thanks for the compliment there, Hercules. Well, my wife and I, we began our spiritual journey as theosophists. I don't know if you're familiar with theosophy with Madame Blavatsky and Bethan.
My first public talk was given at the Theosophical Society in New York.
Fantastic. So we began as theosophists. We're still theosophists. We belong to the American section of the theosophists in Altadena, California. We've also studied some of the Rosicrucian teachings. We've been involved with the Tao, which is an Oriental religious philosophy. And now we're members of the Urantia Book Fellowship. We've been reading the Urantia Book since 1985, but we really started getting into it about 4 or 5 years ago, real in-depth study. And it's neat that our study of the Urantia Book helped us to synthesize everything that we've learned from the Theosophists, Rosicrucians, and such. And we really liked the approach, so we became involved in the social organizations. I became the education chair of UBLA, Urantia Book Los Angeles Society, and now I'm the president. But I guess what keeps us there is my wife and I are involved together, and it's a project we're working on, and we love to do it, and we hope that someday the Urantia Book teachings will be a little bit more widespread.
My wife and I also adventure together, spiritually and otherwise, so that is a wonderful blessing to have in your life. And we also explore the external world and also the internal world through meditations and through creativity, as you and your wife do. So it's very refreshing to meet another couple. Terry and Robin, who co-founded and run the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, are also a couple that works together to spread spirituality and interfaith understanding. So it's a really wonderful thing. And I too am familiar with the Tao and some of the other spiritualities that you mentioned, like the Rosicrucians. In fact, I could probably still quote sections of the Tao Te Ching by heart. I haven't touched it in a few decades.
That's great.
We have something here called the Olympian Embassy. And it sounds very impressive, but in point of fact, what it is we dialogue with other cosmic philosophies, spiritualities, or religions, because even though they vary in the details, the overall picture that they present is fairly consistent. And it does spring from the theosophical message, or the theosophical message was the first manifestation of it, before Ballard's I Am movement and several other neo-theosophical type of efforts went underway, the Anthroposophical Society, and all of these teachings are like branches off the theosophical tree. And what we've been doing is contacting all the different branches, getting to know them, and then working with them on spreading the word. And Nick has been involved in that, and I'm very grateful that he's entered our picture, because he's a great friend and an invaluable resource.
Well, that's wonderful. I really appreciate that, because, you know, the Urantia book also says that, you know, we should be studying a lot of different philosophies to enhance our understanding. And one of the big messages in the Urantia book is brotherhood. That we, you know, that we acknowledge that our brothers and sisters are with us on a journey, and that, you know, essentially we're all a collective unit, you know, trying to grow Godward. So I really appreciate that.
So your journey brought you to Urantia, and you stayed there, and you're still fed by the other spiritual streams as well to increase your understanding. The topic that we've been repeatedly revisiting on the show is Atlantis. And although Atlantis doesn't exist per se in the Urantia book, many of the features that are used to describe Atlantis apply to the Garden of Eden, or the Gardens of Eden. Before we get into talking about those, let's talk about what came before the Garden of Eden, Lemuria, for instance. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd love to. Okay, so Lemuria. Well, Lemuria is an interesting topic. It doesn't mention specifically Lemuria in the Urantia book, but there is a portion of land underwater west of India. And the Urantia book says that portion that's now underwater was the fertile soil for what is called the North American type of lemurs. And this is where the Urantia book says that the lemur evolved into what are called the dawn mammals, which are mammals that are standing upright, to the mid-mammals, which eventually evolved into the primates. And I have kind of come up with this idea, it's not necessarily in the Urantia book, but that there was a land bridge that connected this strip, or this place west of India, to Madagascar. So I think that it was, I think originally it was all a continent above water, and that that was, I think Madagascar might have been Lemuria.
Well, modern lemurs are from Madagascar, but primitive lemurs, where we got a lot of other animals, including bats, supposedly had a lemur-like ancestor, they were actually a lot more widespread. So you can't think of the lemurs as just being stuck on Madagascar in prehistoric times.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. The Rancho book goes back just a little bit further, though, and says that there was the Bering Strait land bridge where the North American type of lemurs came over to Asia, and then that type of lemur specifically evolved into these early primates. And then from there, I believe that there was a migration over this land bridge to Madagascar. So in essence, it could have been like an animal Atlantis. And then Lemuria develops into the primates in Lemuria develop into the first humans, as it says in the Urantia book. And then from there, we get when humans are endowed with will, or they develop will, then a planetary prince comes and establishes a school and a center to uplift culture, religion, and morals. And the Urantia book says that was about 500,000 years ago. And I think that maybe this place of the planetary prince called Dalmatia might have been Lemuria.
Can you give us a little bit more information on the first planetary prince and Dalmatia?
Sure. So then the arrival of the planetary prince about 500,000 years ago sets up this center, or this first garden, not the first garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, but I believe it's kind of like a first garden where schools are established for the cream of civilization in that particular area. The tribes, the cream of the tribes, they come into Dalmatia, they learn the Dalmatian ways, and then they spread all of this out to the neighboring tribes to uplift them. So I guess in that way, I kind of think of Dalmatia as like maybe the first garden.
And there was a second garden.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there was a first Adam and Eve garden in the Urantia book about 38,000 years ago, and the Urantia book describes it in detail. If you could just indulge me for just a second, it says here in the Urantia book, in paper 73, it says, a long, narrow peninsula, almost an island, projecting westward from the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea. To me, that says Cyprus and the underwater neck of Cyprus that people like Robert Sarmast have been exploring.
Yes, that is one of the possible locations for Atlantis. I believe I either read the book or reviewed it when it first came out. It was very interesting.
Yes, and so that would have been about 38,000 years ago, according to the Urantia book. And it's interesting because that's that first garden there is where is where the Urantia book says Adam and Eve came. Now, I wanted to kind of expand it a little bit, though, if I might, Hercules.
Of course.
Thanks. That there are. Okay, so we all try to find the Garden of Eden, and we all try to find Atlantis and Lemuria and all these places. But when you delve a little bit deeper into the Urantia book, you find some wonderful things. You find that there are actually lots of Gardens of Eden, on what we call the constellation headquarters worlds of Edentia. Actually, what we call the constellation, is called Norlashadek, and the headquarters worlds are called Edentia. And these Adam and Eve, there are tons tons of Adam and Eve that come from these constellation headquarters, and all of their abodes and all the places where they live are actually gardens of Eden. And these Adams and these Eves are sent out to all these planets to uplift them biologically, but where they come from are these absolutely amazing, wonderful, beautiful gardens that they try to replicate when they go to a planet to uplift mortals.
Now, what would be, in the Urantia book, the purpose of our being here? Why are we here on this planet, and why do we experience the types of things that we experience while we're here?
Well, that's a pretty heavy question. No, that's okay. That's probably one of the heaviest that man has, I guess, huh? Well, in the Urantia book, a real emphasis is placed on the fact that we are sons and daughters of the Father. Okay, we call him the Universal Father, and we are sons and daughters of the Universal Father. And we have a relationship with that Universal Father. And we are trying to be like that perfected Father in heaven. And that's one of the things that we're kind of in charge of, is what it says in the Urantia book: be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
So we're here to attain to a level of perfection that matches our Creator?
Yeah, it matches our Creator in our own realm.
So once we attain that level of perfection, what will we be like? How will we be different than how we are now?
Okay, thank you for the question, Hercules. So we have a soul. According to the Urantia book, we have a soul that we're growing, or the soul is growing, or the soul is developing. We have a lot of celestial beings and helpers that are helping us on our path toward God, toward our unification, or in Theosophy, it's our reunification with God. And when we attain that oneness with God, then we are sent out to do creative work, administrative work, on a bigger level, on a grander level. So we become what are called, when we reach paradise and attain that perfection, we become what are called finaliters, that we have a finality status, and we are ready, or we are allowed to be a part of maybe a new creation in what we call, like I mentioned earlier, four outer space levels, the master universe.
This is very comforting, because it allows for growth, it allows for development, it allows for continuous exploration, and it does show that depending on your talents and your inclinations, you do have options in terms of what your role will be. So that is a very comforting teaching, at least to me.
Yeah, it is very comforting. And you know what we learn about in the Urantia book, that it's a very friendly universe, that there are myriads and myriads of wonderful personages, personalities, beings who are interested in us, who are helping us, and who are really championing us. And we also learn And we also learned that there's an incredible mercy, an incredible amount of mercy and motherly loving guidance that we're given on our path. Now, we have responsibility, though, to, you know, do our job in the universe, but it says it's a friendly universe. And my wife wanted to say that she talks to a number of these celestial personages, angels, and helpers every day. So she's really in tune with all that. So, and we try to follow, you know, the will of God. But it is very comforting to know that there are helpers and that there's a friendly universe and that God, Father God, Mother God, has a plan for us, a beautiful system worked out that's beyond what we can imagine. So that gives us a lot of joy and a lot of comfort. So I think you're right.
I'm going to ask a difficult question now. Why does our world seem then like such an unfriendly place, and to the experience of many, sometimes a horrific place?
Well, that's a pretty heavy one too, but that's one that we've thought about a lot, because, you know, we see people around us, you know, hit by cars, and we see a lot of wars and things like that. But I think through all of my experiences with studying theosophy and other religious philosophies and the Urantia book, is that we live on a world that's relatively undeveloped as of yet. That when we do, you know, when we do graduate or we do work or we do study on these higher levels of the grand universe, master universe, like in the local system or constellation, I think we will find that things are a little bit more harmonious with the spirit. They're a little bit more in tune with God, and, you know, there's less of that.
That, too, is very comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your wife and yourself, you explore the celestial and other realms beyond our earth through meditation and through art and through study. After we come back from the break, I want to explore that a little bit more. But can you whet our appetite a little bit by giving us an overview of the types of things you do?
Well, we are involved right now with the local universe father and the local universe mother spirit on the local universe level. And we're also involved with the infinite mother spirit on the Havona paradise level. So those are some interesting things we've been involved with lately.
That sounds pretty awesome. Are there places that are reminiscent of Mount Olympus in the Urantia book?
Are there places, what was the word you said?
That are reminiscent or that evoke Mount Olympus, Greek mythology. I know that in many of the cosmic philosophies, spiritualities, and religions that we've explored, it isn't always called Olympus, but from the descriptions, you know, you can pretty much state with certainty that it is. And then when you start experimenting with the universes, you find that indeed it is. Is there such a place in the Urantia book?
Well, you know, I think that there is a thread of truth in the universe that runs through every religion and that runs through every mythology. Different names, different stories, different characters, but there is a system in place above it all that governs every single aspect of the universe, whether it's you know, Gaia or Uranus and the Titans or Zeus and all of the gods. They're all there. if you want me to go into it a little bit more, I could say that we think that Zeus we think that Zeus is a perfect representation. Now, this is my own study. This isn't the Urantia book, but we feel that Zeus is a perfect representation of what we call the local universe father.
Okay.
And we feel that Hera is perfect representation of the local universe mother spirit. And we feel that Hercules could be what we call perhaps a bestowal of Jesus on this earth as superhuman or mortal, but we're still working on that kind of theory. But not like a real Jesus or anything, but maybe a helper or a personage that is enlightened.
That's an interpretation I'd like to explore after we come back from break. We're going to take a break for a few minutes, listen to a song and some promotional messages. Athena, what song are we listening to?
Well, the song for our midpoint musical interlude is Ever With Me by Dave the Bard.
We'll be joining you again in a few minutes, Michael.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Super Drum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
Come join us on International Pagan Radio. We air great artists such as Tuatha Day, Dragon's Head.
Some of them come in the lonely, some of them stay for a spell, some of them stay for a message from the oracle in the well.
Green Fortune.
I remember when I first walked in this garden, I, against my will.
David Wood. Rising.
Lose yourself in rhythm, lose yourself in time, caught up in the spiral,
and many, many more.
Follow in the music, follow in the beat, dancing with.
Like our page and join our group on Facebook. InternationalPaganRadio.com, where it's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, we are back and we are speaking with Michael from the Urantia Book Society in Los Angeles. Greetings, Michael.
Oh, hello again, Hercules, and hello there, Athena Victory.
Hello.
And
hi.
Hello to your wonderful wife, Helen Diane, who we know is there in the background.
She's here, thanks.
So you spoke before the break about, in your view, where Zeus, Hera, and Hercules fit in. Zeus and Hera are perfect representations of the local universal parents, the father and mother, and you started to explain that Hercules was a type of Jesus, a helper. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, I tend to think of Zeus as an enlightened, one of the enlightened personages. I mean, not Zeus. Did I say Zeus? I'm so sorry. I meant Hercules. Hercules, an enlightened being that there are so many in all of the universe, but I'm thinking of Hercules as being one of the enlightened teachers, one of the avatars that comes to step up humanity, to, you know, propel them further in their ideas of morality and religion, and spirituality.
Well, thank you very much. That is in agreement with my researches and personal experience as well. And on a future show, I want to just focus on this topic. But for today, since we're still pretty much in Atlantis, so we will continue onward. You work with your wonderful wife, and you guys do things together. Would you care to give us a little deeper overview of the types of things that you explore spiritually?
Yes, the types of things that my wife and I explore spiritually. We are we're involved with the Urantia Book Societies. There are three of them. We're working with the Urantia Book Fellowship. We're working with the Urantia Foundation, who were the original publishers of the Urantia Book in 1955. And we work with UAI, which is Urantia Association International. And I guess what our goal is in being involved with these organizations is to create an awareness more of the of what the local universe father and what the local universe mother spirit are today. In part four of the Urantia Book, we have the life and teachings of Jesus, which has given us some incredible examples and some teachings for us to follow in our daily lives. But we're told that the local universe father, upon his ascension, poured forth the spirit of truth onto the earth, and through the mother, the local universe mother spirit, became with him sovereign rulers of the local universe. They're pouring out the spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. They're helping us with mind. They're creating situations where we can use mind for our ascension. But we want to know, we want to deepen our relationship with them as they are today. So we are contacting them. We're talking to them. Every 3 weeks we have meetings with them where we dialogue with them and we say, how should we live our lives? And also, how should we be as leaders in the Urantia movement?
That's very wise.
And so we've dedicated our lives the last 4 years to really restructuring everything in our lives to center around this work that we're doing. I'm a school teacher, and I also sing in a church. That's my second job, at the Mission Basilica San Juan Capistrano. If you ever come out here, it's the it's right behind the mission, you know, the California missions. San Juan Capistrano mission, right behind it, there's a reproduction of the church, a basilica where I sing. So I'm pretty busy in that, you know, I'm pretty busy making money as a teacher and a singer. But this new work has just developed, just like I said, within the last 4 or 5 years. But we're really focused on it, and the message that we seem to be getting at this point in time is world peace.
Awesome.
But not only for this world, but for everything that we've been talking about, local system planets or worlds, which are about 1,000, constellation spheres, which are about 100 local systems, local universe, which is about 100 constellations, and it goes on and on and up.
Wow.
So what we do is we pray with our son Alexander every night for world peace, not only on our world, but other worlds in our local system and beyond. Not that, you know, as you go up toward Havana and paradise, probably you don't need as many peace prayers, but but we certainly do anyway, so.
That is incredibly awesome. I'm going to invite Nick in, our mutual mm-hmm. friend, because we have like 15 more minutes left. So I'm going to blend the information together. Let me get Nick for a second. Greetings, Nick. How are you?
Oh, very good. And thanks so much for the invitation to be on your program.
Very honored to have you on board, as always. And you're going to be a guest again on June 13th. Where we're going to talk about the New York Disclosure Network.
Oh,
so
boy.
That's
a lot. There's a lot of information there, and that's one of the most exciting chapters in my life, and I can't wait for that program, too. That's going to be something.
Nor can I. Since we have everybody together and Urantia is the common thing that ties us all together, let me ask. I will start with Michael. Michael, tell us what one can expect if one comes to the Urantia Book Society in L.A.
Okay, the Urantia Book Society in Los Angeles, we have quarterly meetings where we bring in guests, experts, Urantia Book experts from around the country and the world to come speak on a particular topic. We have four of those a year. We also have a celebration of the birthday party for Jesus, which is usually in August, because according to the Urantia Book, Jesus was born on August 21st. So we have quarterly meetings, and there's a lot of support, a lot of loving support. As a matter of fact, one of our old-timers passed away at 97, so we've given her and her partner a lot of support. There's also a website you can visit for our events, because we're going to be live streaming our next presentation on July 17th.
Awesome.
So if you go to www.ubla.org, that's www.ubla.org, then you'll have a listing of all of our events, the July 17th one will be live streamed. So that's pretty much what we do, and we're a nonprofit 501c3, so we have book fairs, and we support, we sell art, and we promote the teachings of the Urantia Book and things like that.
Very great. Nick, I was fortunate enough to come to a Urantia Book Society meeting in New York, but why don't you share with our listeners what that is like?
Right. This is exciting for us because this is a brand new study group. It is free. It's open to all truth seekers, and we have it twice a month. It's the first and the third Sunday of every single month. And it's from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. It's quite an intense hour of reading the Urantia Book in sequence. And then if there's questions, and there are usually wonderful questions from the group, we try to answer them. So it's very interactive and real proud of it. The group is located on 18 West 18th Street on the fifth floor. That is the CAP, C-A-P, studios, CAP 21 studios, and we rent a large, beautiful rehearsal studio for that reading. So everyone's certainly invited. Can I give them my phone and my email so they can contact me? Okay, because that's the best way to do it. Okay, let me do that then. My telephone is 917-701-9033, and they can reach me on my phone or my email. Let me give you that: nicknyny, and then the figure one, the number one, @gmail.com. And that way they can call me and I can give them further directions and what room it's going to be in. There's 21 different rehearsal rooms. We usually have the largest one there, and I can tell them which room to go to, so we'll make it very easy. Now, I just want to say that following the Urantia reading from 1 to 2 o'clock, at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the very same room is where we have Disclosure Network New York, which is a very serious, wonderful group of people that research UFO phenomenon and all the related parts of that. In fact, this next meeting we're going to have will be Jeff and Michael, who are extraordinary videographers, photographers, who've got the very latest videos of what is in the skies over New York City. And believe me, it's not weather balloons nor planes. It is extraordinary material, and they're going to show that. We have a video projector, and we can project it up to 8 feet. So it's very in-color, clear visuals of what they've got. They've lectured three times before, and I'm telling you, they've got extraordinary video. So that's going to be the next meeting. Also, the website, just so they all have that for the Disclosure Network New York, it's very easy. It's www.dnny.info, which means Disclosure Network New York, dnny.info. That will give them the latest meeting, day, time, and what the subject matter will be. If it's going to be a speaker, we have incredible speakers coming in. As well, sometimes we have a town meeting where it's a roundtable discussion of what's on the mind of the people that's there. And that is a lively, lively discussion. Some of our best meetings have been the roundtable discussions. We're also going to have a picnic in Central Park, and that's going to be this coming Saturday if the weather is going to cooperate. So that's another thing we do, a special event.
That's awesome. Michael, do you have a website that people can check on beyond the one that you gave me for your live streaming?
Sign me up, Nick, for that picnic in Central Park. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, boy, I certainly wish you and Diane could be here. I would like nothing more. And Hercules, you also and your wife, that would be so extraordinary. I really wish that could happen.
Thank you.
That would be really nice. The UBLA.org website is the best for our for the Los Angeles Society. But if you'd like to contact me, personally, I'd be very happy to dialogue with anybody about the Rancher Book or whatever, and can give you more information about our society. It would be Michael, MichaelDunkin. That's like Dunkin' Donuts without the apostrophe. The figure 1 at hotmail.com. Again, MichaelDunkin, the number 1 at hotmail.com.
Thank you.
Our website is really nice. You can also... we have some archived videos from some of our past presentations on the UBLA.org, which are kind of nice.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up for the night, what is the Urantu Book stance on UFOs, since Nick had brought up the UFOs?
Oh, boy. That is such a wild and loaded question. There's so much in there. Including, believe this or not, it's in the book, the same book that's got all kinds of cutting-edge scientific data, truly. It also has the life and teachings of Jesus, which is extraordinary for anybody who's a student of that. And then it's got about planets and inhabited planets, and it talks about, in one chapter, the government of a planet. Not too far from us. It talks about how that works. And listen to this. This is pretty extraordinary when you think of it. It says the highest crime on that planet is to betray public trust.
Wow.
Betray public trust. In other words, can you imagine if our own government, that was the law and that there was no such thing as betraying your public trust. In other words, that you're not taking bribes from all kinds of other groups to do their bidding. When I read that, it just stood out like a sore thumb.
Well, that sounds like it could be the topic of a whole show. So we will follow up on that next time. But I want to thank both of you, all three of you, if we count your lovely wife, for being here tonight. I look forward to speaking with you again, and I wish you joyous journeys.
Thank you, Hercules. You rock, man. You rock.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do, Hercules. Thank you so much for having me and my wife in the background here. And I love your pictures with your skins on and everything. And you just look invincible. You look invincible.
I'm greatly honored by your words. I'll have you back on again. I'll be emailing you later today or tomorrow, and we'll schedule the next show.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Okay, that was a wonderful show, Athena. We touched a lot of bases and opened the doors to lots of information. And wow, I'm looking forward to speaking to those guys again. Now, we have lots of announcements for you. First, CERN announcements. So, Athena, would you do the honors?
Okay. If we could find the top of it, yeah.
There it is.
Here it is. Okay. You can listen to Harry and Robin on International Pagan Radio on Thursday at 4 o'clock noon and 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Times. And tomorrow night, they have their full moon ritual. And Thursday night, Harry and Robin will be at Caldera Fest. Next Tuesday, Harry and Robin will be traveling back from Caldera Fest. Tuesday, on the 7th of June, the Dark Moon Ritual on Harry and Robin's Power Hour. And once again, see Harry and Robin at Caldera Fest, 26th to 30th of May. At the 11th of June, they'll be at Pittsburgh Pagan in the Park, from the 17th to the 19th at Ishtar Fest.
And we're going to be at Ishtar Fest, too, where I will be with Terry Power facilitating a men's ritual. It's open to men and women because life, death, and rebirth are actually quite universal.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be called the Apotheosis of Hercules. And apotheosis, which means rising to become a god, is the most ancient term for ascension. So this is Greek ascensionism as revealed through the mythologies. I'm looking forward to that. And all of the things that Terry and Robin list always sound very interesting. Now, this coming Thursday, May 26th, from 7 to 8 p.m., we're going to be at the Cresco Public Library. And we're going to be doing a group on astral voyaging. This is the second astral voyaging group we've ever conducted publicly. And it is a modern and more cosmic take on the ancient shamanic practice of shaman getting together and traveling in a spirit boat. They made a movie about that once with dinosaurs in it. Do you remember the movie?
Was that the one with they start at the Museum of Natural History?
That is the one.
Oh, Journey Through Time?
Yes, Journey Through Time, and my great friend, the Commodore, has a copy of that movie, and he lent it to us once upon a time, too.
That was the first movie I remember my babysitter taking me to see.
Yeah, I saw it fairly early on. I don't think my babysitter took me to see it, but I did see it fairly early on. It stayed with me, so when I saw it again, I was very excited. It didn't stand the test of time. It wasn't as good as I remember it, but a few things are when you're an adult and you're, three or four initially?
I don't know how old I was. Yeah.
Anyway, I give you the scepter and share with us what's new for us.
Well, for more information on Hercules and Athena, visit our website at www.herculesinvictus.net. For contact and community, visit us on Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or the Voice of Olympus. Hercules and Athena are also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, as well as epic special events and appearances.
And next week, we will be joining Amara Crow, who is one of the organizers and brains behind Ishtar Fest that we already spoke of, for a show on Greco-Mediterranean musings. The world around the Mediterranean in antiquity was not separated as rigidly into nations as we have today. So there was a lot of communication going on from the time of the Phoenicians onwards to the time of the Romans. And Ishtar Fest will be in part based on those type of syncretic understanding. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Amara about that. Do you have anything you'd like to announce?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is it. We have announced everything we have to announce and said everything we need to say. Thank you for joining us tonight. I wish you all a wonderful week, many joyous journeys, and happy adventures. Kali nikta.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.